The Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came up and ate them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown on the heart. That is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but cares for the world, and the lure of wealth choke the word, and he yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. What did you hear? No, really, what did you hear when I read to you those verses from our gospel reading this morning, the story according to Matthew? Jesus was surrounded by so many people at the beach. Think like Miami spring break beaches or like dip netting summer beaches or fishing along the Russian River. And because there are so many people gathered around, Jesus got into a boat and he went out into the water away from the crowd so that he could teach. And the first thing Jesus said to them is, "Listen. Listen to the words of the story I'm about to tell you," he says. "Feel it in your body and digest it for yourself." So what did you hear? I often find myself listening to things, but then being ready for my answer or my response, as if I can think through what's going to happen and process about what perhaps God is trying to teach me, right? Because I think I've got it all figured out, that I'm not actually hearing what's happening over here. And that I should probably just find the right answer through a pastor or a teacher or a scholar, someone else to give me the answer, someone else who can hand me the answer on a plate. Anyone else ever feel like their answers aren't quite good enough? Like their answers have to be somehow checked and rechecked and compared to others' answers to prove that they are in fact on the right track? That you having your own knowledge isn't enough, but you need to see what others' knowledge is to validate yours. Part of it is that we're raised in our school system requiring us to test our knowledge and produce the information that matches the information expected, right? It's a do this so that you know that. But at the root of humanity, we're looking to compare our answers to each other. We want to know that we're kind of in line with what other people are believing and knowing about the world. So I want to frame this whole parable with this idea that Jesus is asking people to listen, to really listen to themselves, listen to how his words resonate with them, listen to how they feel when they're gathered around on the beach with other people listening, when they're clumped together with all these other folks struggling to understand, struggling to hear, and to figure out what is this teacher, this Messiah, trying to teach them. If we root ourselves in listening, then we free ourselves to receive parables as these living, breathing stories that we can enter into, that we can dance with, that we can question, and we can wrestle with as we struggle to figure out what they mean. Because parables are meant to be listened to, not with our ears, but with our hearts. That's the idea, right? Parables are a storytelling style. Now, Jesus gives the people gathered on the beach this parable of the sower. The sower is the one who's planting the seeds, you know, like I said to the kids, not like a quilter or needle worker. But he tells about the sower planting the seeds and that the seeds find their way into four types of soil. Did anybody remember what four types of soil? Rocky? Thorny? What was it? Fertile, right? Or good soil? Right? Or rootless, right? They couldn't quite get into good soil. What? Shallow. Yep. All right. And the word of the kingdom, the word of God, the story of how much God loves us is the seed that's being sown, right? And that seed has been sown. Because the seed that has been sown is in this life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right, now wait a second, Pastor Meredith. You were just going from dirt, and now you switched into churchy language, right? You got to give us a moment to connect all the dots, right? Give us a few more steps. Well, there really aren't a few more steps between that, because as people, as human beings, we're listening for our role in delivering the loads of seeds into people's lives to somehow prove that we are good enough, somehow justifying that what we have done as our jobs, as Christians, as people of faith, as people figuring out who we are in this world, but being seed bearers for the rest of humanity, right? I'm listening to this with this idea of like, well, I've got to get my marching orders, right? Tell me what I'm supposed to do here. When in fact, Jesus is telling all those people gathered on the beach, all of those dip netters and fishermen, elbow to elbow, right? That the seed has been sown, period. God is the sower, and Jesus is the seed. And what we find then as human beings, as people listening to this story, is a terrifying freedom to understand that we are not responsible for saving the world, because the gift of the Savior has already come into our lives. And the Savior has come in this most vulnerable, weak, essentially useless packaging, a seed. That is like the least like terrifying thing in the world, right? He hasn't come even in a pre-made nice hanging basket, right? Trinity Greenhouse, right? Don't they advertise these really big, beautiful baskets? He doesn't even come like that. He comes as a seed. It's like the most vulnerable, useless piece of thing ever. Remember that the folks that Jesus is talking to are waiting for this powerful, triumphant ruler to come in to tear down the tyrants, right? To take down the most powerful leaders in the world, to break apart capitalist systems that use people as a commodity and to do it with force. And instead, Jesus Christ comes into this world as a precious, tiny, fragile baby, much like a seed, whose potential was not fully recognized until his death, exactly like a seed. Dropped into the ground, buried, dead and lifeless, only to grow into an entirely new existence. And he has done this with all different types of soil, all different types of land, all different types of countries and peoples and personalities and political parties and belief systems and identities. When I worked as a hospital chaplain in North Carolina, I remember having patients ask me about myself. I certainly got more questions when I wore my pastoral collar as a woman in the South. Not to mention the nose piercing always set people off. I had one man who asked me, "How do you expect to preach the gospel with that hole in your face?" I said, "Well, there are a lot of other holes in my face, and I've been doing fine so far." But as a born and raised Lutheran, I often got the question, "Have you been saved?" That's a question that I felt a lot in the South. And like I said, as a born and raised Lutheran, I always said, "Yeah, 2,000 years ago, done. Figured it out." Now, I've learned to nuance this a little bit with my interfaith and ecumenical dialogue work, since the understanding of Jesus Christ's redeeming work for the world already being done is foreign to some folks, especially those who practice a more evangelical tradition and see it as there being this moment of conversion for people in their lives. When I was asked if I had been saved, it was framed as if I had somehow played a part in that saving act of God's love for me during my lifetime. as if I had somehow earned it or proved it enough to call myself Christian. But this comes back to listening to these stories, Jesus' parables, with our not just our ears, but our hearts and our bodies. Now for me, Jesus came into this world as this precious, delicate seed, not in a glorious parade filled with sparkly things and big vehicles, but in this quiet, precious moment of the night. Jesus Christ's physical embodiment of love and grace, free grace, not something that is earned by good deeds or nice words, has, is, and will continue to take root in our lives for centuries to come. The invitation to listen and to hear is the reminder that depending on what soil we find ourselves in, whether in the good times or the bad, the times when we feel celebrated and lifted up, or the times when we feel alone and lost, the times when everything is trying to swallow us up in the world and we think that there's no tomorrow, that Jesus Christ is in fact present and is at home with us, in us, and for us. Not because of something we've done to earn it, all right? No amount of tasks will make Jesus love us more, but because this is what it means to be the Savior of the world. So I invite you this week to spend some time trying to listen. I want you to stop whatever else is going on in your brain and listen for what God might be sharing with you. If you're like me, you kind of fill every moment with multiple tasks, right? I have Bluetooth in my car so I can send text messages while I'm driving and can remember all the things. Or I'm making notes on my phone so I don't forget to do this thing, right? But there's not a lot of listening unless I force myself to really stop. So I'm going to challenge you. Spend some time listening this week. Maybe write it in your schedule. Maybe set a phone alarm to find some time to listen. Maybe plan it for your morning walks or whenever you can find some quiet. Find these times to listen to God. Listen. Hear. Be open to what the seed of life is growing in you, with you, and because of you. Thanks be to God. Amen.